We are happy you tuned in to us this Sunday afternoon for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, that whom died for you and I that we could have life and have it more abundantly. I just appreciate him today and thank him for his many blessings that he has bestowed upon me all through my days of my life, because he has met my needs. A lot of people needs a lot of things, but mostly it comes to wants, but all my needs have been met. But the most important need that I had need of was salvation for my soul, and he supplied that. When he was nailed on the cross of Calvary, stretched out his hands and died for us, the giving of his life, the shedding of his blood, that wherein that he blessed me there at that point, where likewise he has many and would do otherwise to others that would accept him as their Lord and Savior. But to be accepted of him, we've got to repent. We've got to come to the realization that he is Lord over all things, and that we not got to realize that he is the only plan that came down, that whereby in that name that we could call upon and be saved through grace, through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's many people have come to interpretate many different ways of the scripture, but there's only one true way to do it, and that's the way it's wrote. And sugarcoating it or bringing it to make it sound like something that is not, it's not the gospel. And many people today have tried to bring it in, but Paul makes mention about that even though them or an angel come preaching another gospel to let him be a curse, he made that statement twice. So I believe today that our nation has come short, because that most of the time they pushed our Savior out of the schools, they pushed him out of the things, they don't do too much of prayer in schools anymore. They've even put the Pledge of Allegiance for the flag out of the schools and indoctrinating people about different things. But my friend, today we was formed under our Constitution, one nation under God. But we've had in the past times of all these people have come along with the Supreme Courts, and the other people have come along and put everything intact and made laws against the plan of salvation and open up avenues for these perverted people and sinners to make more headway in the what they would have done than God would have people to do. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He died for that purpose, and he brings salvation unto you and I. We've got to come through the door, and he says, I am the door. So if you try to go another way, then there ain't no other way. He said, I am the way. But I believe today that if we would get back to our grassroots of wherein that we was come forth and back to the place that wherein we called upon the name of the Lord, and get out of this lukewarm condition that we in, because if you want a refreshing after a hard day's work and you're hot and you want to be refreshed, you want some cool water to drink to cool your and bring a refreshing to you. Lukewarm water won't get it done. And that's why the Lord said in Revelations, he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, for if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. The church has got to where they've compromised so much here in these days until they become to a lukewarm condition, and they won't allow the Holy Ghost to take charge. So I just pray that God would bless and undertake and get us out of that condition. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, we want you to pray with us and pray one for another, that God's will be done in the hearts of the people that call upon his name, the wherein that we classify it to be the church of the redeemed of God. So we need to get God first in our life and forget about everything else, and he will provide provide for us if we'll just let Him have His way in our life. Father God, we thank You today for that precious blood of Jesus, for Him taking upon Him our sins and nailing them to the cross. His obedience there into death, even on the cross, brought forth salvation to all mankind that would receive it and give praise and honor unto Thee. It's the only way, for without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. As we was talking a little bit ago, that Abel offered up a lamb of the first year of the sacrifice, and God accepted it. Cain came along and brought fruits of the ground, and it had no life in it, and it was not accepted. But if he would have done well, then he could have been accepted. But he chose to kill instead of going along. So, Father, we just pray, God, that we would stop this killing and everything and get our hearts set right upon Thee, where there's children be born into Thy kingdom, and we can see the move of the Holy Ghost in the church world, that bringing forth and birthing children unto the kingdom of God, seeing the blind eyes open and the sick being touched, and bringing forth the fruits of the Spirit as You would be pleased with. But we've gotten in such a condition, Lord, we need a refreshing. We need to come back to the basics of God's teachings, putting You first in our lives. So, Lord, I pray, God, that You would touch the hearts of the ministers around about, throughout, wherever they're at, and bring them back to the place where they would call for the old path and walk therein instead of going in their own new way and learning what man would have them to learn. But learn from the Spirit of God, as Paul did, and he didn't learn it from man, but it was given to him by revelation. We need a new start. We need a revelation from the throne of grace to bring us to the place we're in, that Your will be done in our lives, and we'll be able to do that You would have us to do, and bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. So mold us and make us, Lord, into that vessel that You would have us to be, and therefore putting Your Spirit in us that would come from the inside out, that we may reflect Christ in our life, that they see not us, but they would see You and come to Thee before it's too late. We just praise You, and we thank You for this, again, the opportunity to go by the way of radio into the homes and through the computers, that we may say something other on Your behalf, in Your name, that would touch the lives of them that would hear, and that they would have ears to hear and a heart to receive, and come to Thee before it's everlasting too late. I just praise You and thank You for all things. Bless those that have helped us with the finances of the broadcast. We just thank You, Lord, that we're not here for silver and a gold, but we're here to win a soul, hopefully for the kingdom of God. And all that is accomplished, we give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Here's my wife here, Sister Sarah. She's got something for you. So the Lord bless. Pray for us.
Well, praise the Lord. I have a tract here this afternoon that I would like to share with you. And as I've said before, anything that I read on the radio that you hear, either on the live or here it's on the archives, and you would like a copy or whatever, you just email us or send to the post office box. And if you'd like to help us, you can make your check or money order out to Take Time for Jesus and mail it to the post office box. And it will be put to that purpose and no other purpose. We don't need Lear jets or anything. We drive Fords. And they get us where we want to go. So, but if you would like to help us, we'd appreciate it very much. And this afternoon, I want to share with you a gospel tract. The day of the Lord is coming. In Isaiah, the 17th chapter, in the 30th and 31st verse, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. This is a commandment from God, not to be lightly disregarded. It is universal, for it includes all men everywhere, It is a solemn warning that the day is coming when every person who will be judged by his personal relationship to Christ, and the pledge of its fulfillment is the fact of his resurrection, for Christ did not die in vain. Salvation is personal and individual. Jesus did not die to save our society, but he died to save sinners. He was made in the likeness of man that he might take the place of each one of us upon the cross and bear the penalty of our personal guilt. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The historic fact that Jesus came once in accordance with prophecy is proof that he will come again in accordance with prophecy, for both events, Advents, are included in the same prophecy. 7 centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied that he would come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God in Isaiah 61:2. Isaiah saw the two Advents in line, like distant mountain peaks, and could not distinguish the time interval between them. But when Jesus read his divine commission from this prophecy in the synagogue at Nazareth, he stopped with the words, "The acceptable year of the Lord," and closed the book. The day of vengeance awaits his second advent, when the world will be purged by fire. At his second advent, Christ is coming for his own, that they may escape God's judgment on sin, for our God is a consuming fire. The present interval between these two Advents is a day of grace in which we live and choose our eternal destiny. His first Advent brought salvation to sinners, and he is coming again to take out of the world those who in their lifetime obeyed God's command to repent and received his beloved Son as their personal Savior. God's promise to believers in every age since Calvary is, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." In 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, there can never be world peace because men must first be reconciled to God before they can be reconciled to one another. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The world system is essentially evil because Satan is the prince of this world. Therefore, it is written that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this is 1 John 2:15. Christ is the Prince of Peace, for we are reconciled to God through the blood of the cross that covers our sin. Salvation in Christ but does not come by mental assent to his teaching or acceptance of his creed, but by personal experience in his indwelling present. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Jesus said in John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We are born into this world individually, one by one. We are likewise reborn spiritually, one by one. It is a transforming experience whereby we go to Calvary with our Lord and henceforth see life from the standpoint of the cross. In his final prayer in the garden on the night of his betrayal, Jesus said in John 17, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. They are mine." Christ is the hope of the world in this age of grace. Praise while he Lord. Tarries Thank and you, the Comforter abides, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's Acts 4 and 12. When God commends and the appointed day is sure, in which all will be judged by their relationship to Christ, the question of supreme importance for each of us is, will I be found on the victory side of the cross when Christ returns for his own? Are you one of his today? Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come, and tomorrow may be too late.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night. From all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then shall fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound.
Bringing Inspiration Radio to Tampa Bay for over 35 years. This is AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa's Inspiration Station.
Praise the Lord. As my wife was reading there, I was thinking about, you know, all the days of my life when I was young growing up. I used to hear the people that around about that we didn't want to miss out on the rapture. Well, I definitely don't want to miss out on the rapture, my friend, but we got to understand that there's going to be some troublesome times, as the song was saying, before the Lord raptures his church out. We're going to be tested and tried. And for the Bible speaks about in the 29th verse in the 24th chapter of Matthew, it speaks about immediately after the tribulation of those days, then shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give its light. My friend, it says after the tribulations. Many arguments have come along and said the argument of man would be allow his bride to go through suffering if he was able to take her out of this. Thus, Christ would not allow his bride to suffer the tribulation if he could take her out of it. This is a human reasoning. The same as those wasn't saying that God is merciful and he would not allow his creation to suffer in endless hell. My friend, it's not God's will that any should perish. The hell was made for the devil and his angels. It was not made for mankind to begin with. The devil sinned from the beginning when he tried to overthrow the kingdom of God. And we have in this political world today that we live in that one is trying to overthrow one another and take to be the big man in the chair and so on and so forth. Satan there tried to overcome God and take over the throne of God, but it failed and he was cast into hell, the hell that was prepared for him and his angels. If you go there, my friend, it's not God's will. You go there as an intruder. You go there not because you was invited, except by the spirit of the devil. The devil is the god of this world, but the god of eternity, the man that created it all in the by himself, is Jesus Christ. We got to realize that the church is going to suffer some. We got to go back to the place that we're in, that tribulations. We know that and remember that how that when Israel was in Egypt there, that how they persecuted them and how they went about and put them in slavery and then brought upon them things and all. But when the time come, then Moses came there and the plague started coming upon the Egyptians, even though the children of Israel was being chastised by the Egyptians or given tribulations through them, there was light in the camp of Goshen. There were no flies there. There was none of these things happening to them. So God knows how to protect his people even in these tribulation times. My friend, I've seen where people have wrote books and on the television and come up and said, them that are left after. Honey, if you've left after the catching away of the bride of Christ, your hope is gone, because there's going to be no hereafter. There's not going to be no second chance. Remember when God told Noah to build an ark? He worked on it for 120 years, him and his sons. And they talked about the flood that was going to come. We're today is talking about the coming of our Lord and Savior in the clouds of glory. Now, the rain had never, there's never been a cloud and never been no rainstorms. That never happened. It always come up from the earth that watered the plants and the shrubbery and everything. But Noah was talking to him about something that never had happened before. And they mocked him and persecuted him, just as they're doing today when we talk to you about the tribulation that the church is going to go through before the coming of our Lord. When Jesus comes into clouds of glory to receive his bride, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and them that remain to be alive will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And there we shall forever be with the Lord. My friend, today, them that are left behind, it's not going to have any second chance. Them that was in the flood during the flood time, when they missed the boat, if you want to call it that way, when Noah got through with the ark and all the animals and everything was put inside, and God told Noah to take his family and they went inside. There was about 7 days of grace that the door stayed open, but nobody entered in. Nobody came to go in. But when God reached down and shut the door and the thundering and the lightning began to roar and the water began to fall, I'm persuaded to believe that there was a revival in spirit going on, but it was too late. They had waited too long. My friend, don't wait until the church is gone out and thinking that you got a second chance, that they build some big thing over there that you can escape the wrath of God on it and get into some secured place and everything, or some big fancy lawyer is going to stand up and tell God that, hey, we want a rerun. It ain't going to happen. If you're left behind, you're going to go through some terrible times. But before that, the church is taken out, out. There's going to come some troublesome times upon us to show forth that whether we're going to endure in faith in God Almighty, or are we going to listen to them that comes around and says, if you don't take the mark, you can't buy and sell, but if you don't take it, we're going to cut your head off or something other like that. Some people are so engulfed into this world system today that they will take the mark just to be able to buy what they want, just to be able to get what they want or they think they need. My friend, today you need salvation for your miserable soul, and the only one that can give it to you is Jesus Christ. I don't care what other name you call upon. Honey, it ain't going to help you none when it gets down to the bottom line of it, where the rubber hits the road. It's got to be Jesus or nothing. You got to trust in him. You got to call upon the name of the Lord, because it's the only name given whereby that a man can be saved from, and there's no other name. I don't care where you go, what part of the world you in, and how many gods you call upon. If his name is not Jesus, you're calling upon the wrong one. My friend, get it right. These people has wrote books and sold to you, made a lot of money off of them that is left behind. I've read some of them, and it doesn't match up to the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't come out and bear record with it, because it says immediately after the days of tribulation. Not that they're going to have opportunity, but when the sun begins to refuse to shine and the stars begin to fall and all these things, and they see the signs of the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of glory, if you not got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, it's going to be too late, my friend. It's not going to be a second chance go around. It's not going to be, as some people says, God is not whipping his bride, but he's getting her prepared for that he has in store, for a kingdom of righteousness. We can't make it with all these flaws we've got in us that we picked up along the road of life, that the rocks and the sins that we have and the malice that we've got towards one another, and the church divided to wherein that they, if you don't belong to this certain denomination, you ain't gonna make it, or if you don't see it my way, you ain't gonna make it. Honey, if you don't belong to Jesus Christ and got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, you ain't gonna make it, period. That's it. Right. Me, right. You, nor no one else. It's gonna require, because he said that he would blot out their names when Moses stood up between God and the children of Israel, when God made mention there that they were such a sinful people that he would blot their names out of the book of life. Moses said, if you blot theirs out, blot mine out too. My friend, today it was there from the foundation of the world. God knows who is and who will and who won't. Is going to come to him, and your name is recorded there. But when the time comes and you refuse and you disobey God to the extent that sin is so rampant in your life that you refuse to hear and listen to the voice of God, to him that died for you, and receive him, he'll blot your name out of the book of life. You're going to be lost. It's plain and simple. If your name is not recorded upon the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going to be entered into the kingdom of God. That's according to the scripture. Not me, but it's according to the scripture. God had it wrote. I didn't, but I love carrying the mail. Hallelujah. I just love this gospel of Jesus Christ. I love to know that my God is able to keep me in the midst of all of the problems that's going to arise. Oh yeah, I may go by the way of the grave. I may be killed for his name's sake, but that's just a short route into glory as far as I'm concerned. Many people have died for the cause of Christ down through the years, and as many people died for the cause of whatever they wanted down through the years. But them that died for his name's sake and has their name on the Lamb's Book of Life is going to enter in. Though he may be dead, according to the scriptures, he said, though he may be dead, yet shall he live. My honey, death is not the end of it if we've got things right with God, we're going to live eternally in the place that God has prepared. Death is not going to be the end of the sinner, because he's going to wind up in the place that was prepared by the devil and be tormented forever and ever. That's scriptural. It's not me, but it's scriptural. It's all about Jesus. It's not what I say, but it's what thus saith the word of God. He's got a place prepared for the devil to torment him, and he's going to shut him up in it. But many go there as an intruder, and that's the reason hell enlarged itself, because of your non-belief, and because that you won't listen to the word of God. You believe the man that's writing the book about the hereafter, then he said that them that's left behind. If you left behind, honey, you're going to be left behind. You're going to wind up in the place that the devil is at, and you're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Plain and simple. We need to get it right. We need to realize that God's not whipping his bride as some men may think that to get him. I love my wife, and she's my bride, but I didn't whip her, but I nourish her, and I do what I can for her to make life easier for her. But I'll protect her the same as God would protect us and his bride. My friend, today we need to listen to what the word of God says. Not ever Tom, Dick, and Harry took the Bible under his arm and said, and went to a seminar school somewhere or another to learn how to preach behind the tomb of a dead God, learn what man told him to do and how to do it and present it to out there. He needs to be as Paul did. Paul didn't go to the seminars. He went out into the wilderness and he prayed and he sought God, and it was revealed to him in a revelation, not by man, but by revelations that God gave him the revelation to bring and preach unto you and I. And he went up after a certain period of time to see what the other apostles were teaching, and he found out that they were preaching and teaching the same Jesus. It's not another, my friend, but it's the same. He's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, that we're baptized into one body. If you're looking at the way that man would bring it forth to you, you have opportunities upon opportunities. And there's only one more opportunity that you have. And he told Nicodemus there when he came to him, and he was a leader of the Jewish nation back that time, and he coming to seek after him, and Jesus told him, he said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And marvel not that I say, unless you be born again of the water and of the Spirit, you will nowise enter therein. Nicodemus wanted to know if he could enter a second time into his mother's womb. He said, that which is flesh is flesh, but that which is spirit is spirit. Honey, we born of the water and of the Spirit of God. We become a new creature in Christ, and we become dead to the world and to sin, because we live unto Christ. That's the only way we're going to make it. You can't have hold on to the world with one hand and God with the other. It's going to be one or the other. He said, if we would seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that the other things will be added unto us. But people this day and time has got to the place that, oh, I have to go to work so early until I have to get up. I can't go to church on Sunday afternoon when chances are that they don't go to bed until 10, 11 o'clock anyway. And usually the church is going from 6 to 8:30, and they should be able to go home and still get that rest that they're getting because of all the other things that they get involved in, one thing or another. But oh, they put aside, there come a falling away period. Honey, we've got lukewarm. We need to get back in the place of where God would have us to be. If you don't, he's going to spew us out of the mouth. It's come to the time that we're, that the judgment is going to start at the house of God, because we have failed to come up to the measurements that God which in it. We got our women aborting their children, killing their babies, doctors making money off of killing children. We got these perverts going around. They making laws to protect the homosexual. They're in against you. They got rights, but you ain't got none. When you call upon the name of the Lord and you begin to pray and seek God, God. Honey, you're going to face some oppositions along the way. You're going to seek God in his right way. You're going to suffer some persecution. It's plain and simple. And a person that won't accept the persecution because he's afraid, I'm afraid he might miss the gold and miss the call when the trumpet sounds, and he'll be left behind, and he'll have no hope. Oh, praise God. I'm just so glad today to know that the Bible is truth. I'm glad to know that God loved us enough that he sent his only begotten into this world, put on the robe of flesh and come and died for our miserable souls, because we were lost. We were lost without any hope. As Gentiles, we were in darkness, under a curse of death, and there no hope in us until Jesus came there and died on Calvary's cross. He made it possible. It was a time that only the high priest could go in and make a sacrifice of the lamb's blood. But when Jesus died on the cross, that veil that covered there that he went in behind was ripped from top to bottom and made it accessible to you and I through the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, and through that name and through the blood, through faith in Jesus Christ, that we can have remission of our sins. There's only one way we're going to make it, and that's a biblical way. You can listen to everyone that comes down the road and teaches you this way and that way, but there's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way. There's a broad road that leads to destruction, and many are there walking their own simply because of their unbelief, because they won't search out the scriptures to find for themselves. They think they got it all together. Oh, I'm a Christian, but do they live the life that a Christian lives? You can say they are, everybody's a Christian. Even to some of the Muslims and everything, they'll claim to be a Christian. But my God, today they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They got somebody else they go to worship. They pray and seek after other things. A lot of people here in the world is called Christians and everything. They say they are. But when it comes down right to it and you watch them a little bit, you'll find out whether they really walk into life or not. I want my light to shine out to where they can see the Christ in me, the hope of glory. Not me, but they can see him in me, as it was in the potter. When you make a potter, is a piece of vessel out of pottery, it has to go through the fire, and then it comes back again. And when they paint the stuff inside of it to make it waterproof and everything, they put it inside. I think about that as being the Spirit of God inside of us. It is supposed to reflect the Christ on the outside of us. It makes it waterproof to where it can hold. Honey, I've had them a lot of times that they come up and said he had the Holy Ghost and he done all the wonderful things, and then something other change come in and you asked them what happened. They said, well, it leaked out. Honey, it never was there. If it leaked out, it wasn't never sealed by the promise of God. It was not ever put through the fiery test to make sure that Holy Ghost was there. Oh, I want you to know, my friend, today that we come to the place that we're in, that people are teaching and preaching a whole different set of rules than what the Bible teaches. The apostles didn't come and teach us that there was going to be some left behind. They didn't come and say that these things. Matthew wrote it in his gospel there. Jesus told him, he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days. We find in Peter, he said that in the third chapter of 2 Peter there, he said that there would come there. He wanted to stir up our minds a pure way of remembrance, that there may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles and the Lord Savior. knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were. My friend, today God is not asleep, and he's got everything marked out, and it's going to be according to his plan for you and I. He's got a plan for you, and it's getting into his will and his way, and allowing him to be in your life and rule and reign in your life will bring you to the place to where he wants you to be. And all the things that if you seek after him first, not forsaking the assembling together for your own worthless pleasures and everything that you go and all these things and have pleasures into the all kinds of things, and you leave off God, but you'll leave out a day of worship and you'll go your own route to do what you want to, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, doing whatever that you want to do, and leave God on the back burner. My friend, he's getting sick and tired of it, and one day judgment will pass upon you and you will fall and fall hard. My friend, today the only way that you can keep in contact with God is through prayer and fasting, reading of the Word of God, and seeking after his kingdom wholeheartedly. Not just, well, I got to work and I've got to do this, and put God into as a spare tire, and if one of the others goes flat, then you'll take it out. A lot of them has went to get that spare tire out and found out it was flat too, because they didn't keep a watch on things. We need to be watching and praying and seeking God. We need to keep all of our things together in the perspective that we're in, that we should be, and knowing that God is on the throne and he rules over us. We got to come to the place that we're in, that we can know that God will protect us even in the period of tribulations. They did the children of Israel in the time that they was in bondage. Joseph went through the fire, honey. He went through and went along, and he was put in, his brothers sold him into slavery. He was put into Potiphar's house, and then was accused of trying to make out with her, as the old saying, but he's trying to, she accused him of trying to rape her, and he didn't, but it was her own lustful things that he was right. But he wound up in jail for 2 years in a dungeon, but God brought him out through prophecy and everything, and telling Pharaoh what the dream he had, and Pharaoh made him head man. No place on that he didn't have authority except in the throne room where Pharaoh was set. He was the only one that would have authority there, but all the other things were put under Joseph, and Joseph brought his people in there. He spared them, but they went into bondage. My friend, but God seen them through it all. He brought them out by a strong hand. He brought them out, and they went into the wilderness. There he was trying to prove them, but they refused him, and they was rejected by him. The ones that first came out, but that was over 20 years old, all died in the wilderness. And them from children on down to 20 years of age, they come through, and they went into the promised land. My friend, today, if we want to make it to the promised land that God said he would go and prepare a place for us and come again to receive us, you're going to have to, I don't care how old you are, how bent over you might be, and how hard you worked in your life, if you repent, God's got a place for you, my friend. But there ain't going to be no sorrow there. Even the God said he would wipe away the tears from our eyes. There'll be no death or no crying in there. There'll be no sorrow there, no sadness, but it'll all be joy and peace forevermore. But I want you to know, in order to get there, it's going to cost you the world. You're going to have to take on Jesus. You're going to have to put him on. You're going to have to allow him to come into your life, and you'll have to serve him as day and night, not just once a week or twice a week or an hour on Wednesday and 2 hours on Sunday. It's going to take constantly seeking after the kingdom of God, praying and faith in him to believe that God is able to spare his children as he did in the days of old when he fought for them, when he stood up for him. But God is not somebody that's going to be mocked, my friend. He's not somebody that's going to just say, well, you pretty good old boy, I'm going to let you enter, and you hadn't never repented. Like I had a man a few years back to tell me, he said, Brother, he said, Earl, he said, I used to believe like you do that you had to do this and had to do that and pray and seek God. But he said, I found out I'm going to go to heaven to whether I want to or not. But my friend, it don't work like that. Jesus told Nicodemus, as you heard me say, he had to be born again. You'd never enter in without born again. So you're going to have to go the way that Jesus said you could come and the way that it's wrote in the book. You can't go there. But the church today has so become so lukewarm and indifferent that there is very little persecution as the tribulation progress. The line of separation between the saints and the world will become more marked. The more plagues that come upon the world, the more incense increases of the burning of the fire and the persecution instead of hindering the work of the church. Daniel 11:32-33 declares that the people that they would know God would be strong and do export. My friend, if you want to be strong in the Lord and do the will of God, you're going to have to be born again, plain and simple. You can't do it on your own. It's going to have to come the way God set it in order for it to be, because God has got everything in order and everything's going to be according to his will. And when the time comes, when he comes in the clouds of glory to take his church out, there's not going to be no opportunity afterwards. And when he comes again with the saints on the white horse, he comes to do battle. He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his name is to be wrote on his thigh there. And he comes there with all on white horses, and he does away with all sin, and he takes away the sin out of the world and cast the devil and all of the false prophets and them that have not the name on the Lamb's book of life is going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and nailing, gnashing of teeth. My friend, today is only one hope we have, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. If you fail to get it right, there ain't going to be no second chance. Oh, praise God. Prime example is it that them that didn't get into the ark with Moses, they didn't help build the ark, they didn't get into it, but they mocked 120 years and probably said, Noah, where are you going to float the big old boat? What are you going to do with it? There's no creek or river around here big enough to hold it. So what are you going to do with it? And they probably made fun of him. Honey, they make fun of us when we preach this gospel that Jesus is coming again. They say that, where is the promise of his coming that sent the father fell asleep, all things continue as they were. My friend, in the beginning, God had a plan that he was going to bring him out of people that he would call by his name. I want you to know, in Deuteronomy, in the scripture that teaches that if my people which are called by my name, in Chronicles 7:14, he said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repent and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. But they're not doing it today, my friend. They're not calling upon the name of the Lord. They're not turning from their wicked ways. They keep on walking in their own lust of the flesh and the pride of life. We've got them. You used to very seldom ever heard about people being homosexuals and everything, but now they call themselves gay. If there ain't nothing gay about it in my book, it's all demonic, it's sinful, and definitely against God's will. And he's going to put an end to it as he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to bring all these things into the light, but he's going to destroy it by the wrath of God when he rains fire down from heaven upon them. I want you to know that there's only one way you're going to escape it, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ, having the blood applied to your sins, and therefore having the name on the Lamb's book of life and being born again is the only way you're going to escape the pits of hell. You're not going to get the second chance once the church is took out. When he comes again, that some people are looking for the the second time, he's going to come in the clouds of glory and take his bride out. But when he comes the second time and places his foot upon Mount Olive and it caves away and the valley opens up, my friend, today, you got to realize that's going to be his second coming. Oh, friend, today, just realize, read the scriptures. Let me encourage you. Read your Bible. Read it and ask God for the understanding. Don't take my word for it and no other man, because we're fallible. As that man over yonder that somebody says that he's infallible, he's a liar just like any other man. His mouth opens and shuts like a prayer book, but everything that comes not out of it ain't a prayer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can lie like you or I one, but being born again, all these things are taken from us, and we try to live that life by faith in Christ Jesus. That man is no God. He is not infallible. He's fallible as you and I are. We're flesh. We're humans, and we make mistakes, and so does he. Made many of them. My friend, today we got to realize that there's only one that was perfect. Only one that was perfect. And there was two winning hands, and they was nailed to a tree. My friend, that man called Jesus, he was the perfect one. Oh, but listen to me, my friend. Read your scriptures. Don't take no man's word for nothing. Read your Bible. Read it with intents. Read it and find out what it says. And if the man talking to you by radio or TV or whatever it is, if what he's saying ain't comparison to the Bible and you can't find the truth in the Word of God of what he's saying, then turn him away and get somebody else that will tell you the truth. My friend, man has led man down the broad road of destruction for a long time because it the way their own facetious ways. We need to realize that there's only one way, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get into the kingdom of God, you got to be born again. In Romans 8, 16 and 17, we are told in Romans 8, 16, 17 that we have been born again, are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I want you to know that there's going to come a time that Jesus will come in the clouds of glory. He will come to receive his bride that has made herself ready to enter into the kingdom. Whether he's asleep in the dust of the earth or whether he's alive and remain, he will be caught up together in chains from mortal to immortality, from corruption to incorruption. My friend, today, once that body is laid in the grave and after 4 days, corruption takes over. Jesus rose on the third day and he never seen corruption. And he was dead, but now he's alive and he's alive forevermore. I want you to know that there's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way. So look unto him. Read your Bible and find out firsthand from the Word of God. As I've said, don't take my word for it. Read it. And if I come and tell you something that the Scripture won't back up in, don't heed to it. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But in other words, if I don't follow Christ, you follow Christ. My friend, today it's time we begin to set aside the things and the difference and begin to come together as a unity, as a church of the living God, which in he purchased with his own blood, there that we can come into the congregation of the innumerable congregation of angels and bring forth the truth of God's word and allow him to live in our life, and we will reap the benefits of it. God bless you. Hope that we've said something that it would help you. Good. To come for another light, and God would take you and bring you to the place of wherein he would have you to be, that Jesus will rule and reign in your life instead of the material things of this world. Looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, God, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless the ears to hear and the heart to receive, and bring forth fruits of the Spirit pleasing unto thee as a vessel to honor the potter. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for all that being accomplished. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Till next week, may God richly bless you, my friend.
We would like to invite you to come to our church, Christian Growth Fellowship, where Pastor Pennington brings the Word of God every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. The church is located at 149 April Lane in Tampa, Florida, 33613. If you don't have a church home, come join the family at ours. If Take Time for Jesus has been a blessing to you, email taketimeforjesus@wtis1110.com or write Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. God bless. That's all my heart to feel, and grace my fear.